Lakeland's Audio Theater. 98.6 KKNX.
Good evening. Welcome to Audio Theater. Let's dive in. It's time. Let's dive in. It's time for the feature.
Good evening. This is your host, Will. Welcome to Audio Theater for Monday, May 11th, 2026. This evening I present a double play from the old-time radio series, the CBS RMT. Tonight's titles is as follows. 45 Minutes to Murder, and Loser Take All. This set of shows aired on the evenings of June 28th and July 1st, 1976. Now, sit back and relax, as the CBS RMT brings you tonight's feature. Enjoy this featured presentation.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... that descend upon us at this hour. We've been told by a gallery of characters as diverse as Douglas MacArthur, Thomas Edison, and Aldous Huxley that there are no substitutes for victory, hard work, and talent, respectively. Does that imply that there can be no satisfactory substitute for anything? Well, suppose you were condemned to death. How about a substitute who would walk that last mile for you?
But I didn't kill him, Lieutenant.
Come on, Mr. Ragland. You're only wasting time.
I tell you, I'm innocent.
You sent him that bottle of liquor. It was poison.
But
It was a birthday gift. The note was in your handwriting. I have the testimony of the clerk at the store. He remembers selling you this bottle.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, if I did kill him, would I be crazy enough to leave so many clues pointing to me?
Sure, because maybe that's your defense. You figure the members of the jury will ask that same question. Would he be crazy enough to leave all those clues? Well, I wish you luck, because you're going to find out the hard way.
Our mystery drama, 45 Minutes to Murder, written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. We are told, thou shalt not kill. The laws, both secular and divine, define murder as the ultimate crime, for which the ultimate penalty must be exacted. And yet, deep or not so deep, in all of us, is a bloodlust, and some of us satisfy it actively, while most of us, fortunately, are happy to indulge it vicariously. After all, isn't that why you listen to our program? What you want is murder. Well, you got here just in time. The body is still warm.
This is a female, white, age 50, named Emma Martindale. Her death was caused by an injection of hydrocyanic acid.
What's that, Doc?
It's also known as prussic acid, Lieutenant.
Oh.
It's one of the most deadly and quick-acting of all the poisons.
How was it administered?
It was in a bottle of cognac that someone had sent to her husband, evidently.
Now, Doc, you say quick-acting. How quick?
The dose he took? Just a couple of minutes. The guy who sent it, actually the killer, Lieutenant, it's open and shut. Please accept my
sympathy on the death of your wife.
Don't say the death of my wife, Lieutenant. Say the murder.
Tell me what you know, Mr. Martindale.
James Raglan has always hated me.
James Raglan, why?
Why? He envies me my talent, my success, my position as vice president of Caraway Chemicals.
Uh-huh.
A job he thinks should have been given to him. Why, he's so extravagant, wasteful. The way he spends money, we'd be bankrupt in a year.
Well, if he hated and envied you, why should he kill her?
Incompetence, stupidity. Here, read this. It's card.
To Emmett on your birthday, to be sipped slowly.
It was delivered to the house this morning with the bottle of cognac. The poisoned bottle of cognac.
Signed, Jim Raglan. Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I said he didn't expect a gift from Jim Raglan, and so I called Emma into my study.
A gift from Jim?
Read the card, darling.
It's from Jim. His handwriting.
It must be a practical joke.
It's remarkable after all these years.
I always wanted to be reconciled with Jim. And since he's taken the first step, well, I'm going to open this bottle and drink to it. What better way?
I dare you.
What?
Oh, pour some for me, too.
But, darling, you never drink.
I know, but this does call for a celebration.
It certainly does. It means Jim has finally matured. Oh, it's going to help at the office if Jim is willing to pull his weight finally.
I propose a double toast. To your birthday.
No, don't remind
me. And to the flowering or the reflowering of a friendship.
We were holding our glasses aloft, as you do when you toast. And it came to me that I noticed a kind of cloudiness in the cognac. I wondered what it might be. It was Dunson, one of the most expensive cognacs you can buy. Well, this might have been a defective bottle. I was going to say, let's not drink this just yet, darling. But he had already swallowed again.
Aren't you going to drink yours, Emmett?
Well, Emmett, dear, you notice anything strange about the cognac?
Strange? Well, I don't really know enough about
it. No, I mean the taste.
Well, I don't know how it's supposed to taste.
Well, kind of it's my imagination. What?
Well, maybe I'm not used to it.
You're used to what?
Emmett. Oh, Emmett, I see.
But Emmett.
Marjorie.
I'll call a doctor.
He was dead when help arrived. Really, there was nothing anyone could do. And now you know everything. Well, thank you, Mr. Martindale.
No, Lieutenant. You don't know everything.
Oh.
I had every intention of killing Jim Raglan. Killing him with my bare hands. But your officers beat me to it. You saved him, you arrested him.
You'll have to let justice take its course.
Well, that's a superfluous remark. Certainly, I expect justice to take its course. If it doesn't, I'll take my own.
Mr. Raglan?
Who are you?
Lieutenant Cooper, homicide.
I didn't kill her.
You didn't mean to kill her. You sent the bottle of poison cognac to him.
I didn't send a bottle of poison cognac to anybody.
Now, Mr. Raglan, I want to help you.
If you want to help me, you'll find out who's trying to frame me.
Did you send Mr. Martindale a birthday gift?
Yeah.
You don't deny it.
But it wasn't poison. It was Dunston's cognac, 100 years old. It cost $200.
Isn't that a lot of money to spend on a birthday gift?
Well,
especially for a person you really don't care for.
Who told you that?
Do you like Mr. Martindale? Are you in the habit of getting him gifts on his birthday?
Well, I just thought we'd been at sword's point long enough.
Sword's point?
Well, it's just that we disagree on money. He hates to spend it. I decided it would be better for the firm if we pull together.
Or if you could, pull alone.
I only wanted to make peace with him.
A $200 present?
It impressed him. The business required both of us to work in harmony. I own stock in the company.
Well, we have the note in your handwriting.
Would I be such a fool?
Well, sure. Murder is basically a fool's occupation.
All you have is Emmett's word for it.
For what?
Just the cognac I sent him is the same cognac that poisoned his wife. Listen, suppose he wanted to kill her.
Why?
Well, suppose the cognac arrives and has the note in my handwriting. He gets a sudden flash of inspiration. He opens it. He spikes it with the poison.
Yeah, sure. Fine. Where would he get the poison?
We're in the chemical business. He's a chemist. He has a laboratory in the house. He gets his wife to drink some of the cognac. And here I am, in jail, the killer.
Well, you must admit it sounds a bit far-fetched.
I don't admit anything.
Mr. Radman, make it easy on yourself, huh? Anytime you're ready to make a statement, why, you...
I'll have your badge. I'll see this town for false arrest. How dare you accuse me?
Now, look, Mr. Rodman.
Why don't you go to Barnaby's liquor store on 4th and Van Buren? That's where I bought the cognac. I said, give me a bottle of Dunston's. He got it. I said, gift wrap, and put this card inside. He did it. And then I said, deliver it. There was no way I could have poisoned that cognac.
Sure, I remember, Lieutenant. I don't sell a bottle of Dunston's every day, you know what I mean? Very few liquor stores even carry that quality. Now, he came in here, asked for the Dunston's. He wrote a note.
Yeah, he says, gift wrap it and put this note inside, which I did.
Uh-huh. So, now we have this wrapped package. Now, tell me the next thing that happened.
The next thing he said...
I want this delivered.
Sure thing.
Right now. To Mr. Emmett Martindale. 13 Pleasant Drive.
Oh, well, my delivery guy won't come in until noon.
Well, that's more than an hour from now. I'd like it delivered at once.
Oh, it's only an hour away.
All right. Suppose we forget the whole thing.
Oh, no, wait. Let us not be hasty.
Now, you stay here a minute. Watch the place, will you? I'll run next door to the grocery. Maybe this guy will help you. I ran next door to Markowitz's place. We do favors for each other, see? But his kid was already on delivery. You left Mr. Ragland and the package all alone in your store?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For how long?
Oh, I don't know. A couple of minutes.
Now, think very carefully. Was he carrying anything?
Yeah, one of them, case.
You sure?
Yeah, positive.
Then he did have the opportunity to switch bottles. Now, the point is, he was alone with the package.
Well, sure. He was alone with every package in the store.
I see. And then what did you do?
I went back and I told him straight out, I can't deliver this for at least an hour. Oh, no, wait. Let me think.
Yes.
It takes me 10 minutes to get the Pleasant. 10 minutes back. I can close the store for 20 minutes or a half hour. Look, I'll deliver it myself.
And then what happened?
And what do you think? I delivered the package.
I want you to explain every detail of that delivery.
Okay. I drive up to the door. I park the car. I ring the bell.
Yes?
Hey, gorgeous. I got a package here for Mr. Martindale.
From whom?
From Mr. James Ragland. Hey, what's your name?
Are you sure it's from Mr. James Ragland?
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Wait here.
With that, he leaves me standing at the door. Well, from inside, I hear voices.
What kind of voices?
Voices?
Saying what?
Well, I couldn't hear. It isn't more than a minute. And she comes back.
Thank you. That'll be all.
What time do you get off tonight, honey?
You know how it is, Lieutenant. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Would you know exactly what time that was? You bet I know. Every minute was costing me money. It was exactly 9 minutes after 11.
Your name is Marguerite Willis?
Yes, officer.
And, just after 11 this morning, a man delivered a package.
A bottle of cognac for Mr. Martindale.
Uh-huh.
I brought it in to him.
Tell me, why did you ask the delivery man to wait?
Well, I couldn't believe Mr. Ragland would send Mr. Martindale a present.
Why not?
Well, I didn't say this, perhaps, but there's always been such bad blood between them.
I see. Now, tell me what happened when you brought the present to Mr. Martindale.
A gift for you, for Mr. Ragland.
Are you sure? That can't be right. Well, we didn't find out. You can leave the room if you like, Marguerite. It could be a bomb. Well, look at this.
It's a bottle of cognac.
Not just cognac, it's Benson's cognac. That extravagant fool. Maybe he wants to poison me. But with Dunstan's? Nobody would poison with a bottle of Dunstan's. Could be worth $200-$300. It's just too much money. Emma! Emma, dear. Come in here. It's a gift from Jim.
A gift from Jim? I walked out of the room and I began to dust the parlor. I could hear them talking about it. He opened the bottle. He said that he'd join him.
How long did that take?
Just as long as it takes to tell you. Next thing I know, I hear him yell for me to call a doctor.
Did you?
Well, I was standing near the phone, so I just lifted it and called the police emergency number for an ambulance.
And they came right away?
Oh, yes. Right away.
Thank you, Miss Willis. I guess that's all.
That's all? That's all for whom? It could be all for Mr. James Ragland, but you know it can't be as simple as this. After all, it's only the end of Act One. We'll have the usual quota of surprises set up for Act Two, and if for Act Three, take them one at a time. I'm Hyman Brown, producer-director of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, inviting you to a week of supernatural history. Beginning this Sunday, July 4th, we'll celebrate this bicentennial with seven new and original dramas of suspense rooted in America's past. In The Angels of Devil's Mountain, for instance, a 20th century man becomes one with a revolutionary soldier.
Listen, are you telling me he's the reincarnation of the soldier in the painting?
All I'm saying is, he's the same soldier. And when he drove through here, something came over me. He felt that terrible pain again.
We'll take you back to the Revolution with Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, to the Civil War with Lincoln, exciting stories of intrigue, spies, and ghosts. Be sure to join us each night next week for seven dramas of supernatural history on CBS Radio Mystery Theater at 10:30 every night on WDBM News Radio 78. The French say, chacun a son goût, which means everyone to his own taste. All too soon, we become enslaved by our tastes and form habits, which lead to patterns of action. And to these, we remain true. If we are rash and impulsive, we do everything in a rash and impulsive manner, including murder. If, on the other hand, we are devious and complicated, we do everything in a devious and complicated manner, including murder. With what sort of people are we dealing in our story?
Lieutenant, what am I getting out of here?
Now, Mr. Ragland, While you were in that store, you did have an opportunity to either doctor or switch parties.
What are you talking about?
The owner of the store left you alone for several minutes while he went next door to see if he could get a delivery boy.
Listen, Lieutenant, you've got to believe me.
Now, you'd have been in the clear to tamper with that bottle.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm innocent.
Now, look, Mr. Ragland, you gave me a lead. I followed it. But you're in just as deep as ever.
I didn't poison the cognac.
Well, if you didn't poison the cognac, who did?
I don't know. Martindale did.
Now, you said that before. Why would he want to kill his wife?
Because...
Yes?
Because she was too good for him.
In what way?
In every way. She was delicate and aesthetic, and he was kind of vulgar.
And that would motivate him to kill her?
That and Marguerite.
Marguerite?
The maid.
Oh, what about her?
Have you seen her? Good-looking, sexy.
Oh, I see. And Martindale was having an affair with her?
How did you know?
Well, that's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
Well, it's true. Everybody knows.
Who's everybody?
All of his friends. Her friends. Just that.
Well, that's not good enough. Would they be willing to swear to that in a court of law?
Well...
You know, these things that everyone knows usually come apart on the witness stand on the road.
But it's true. All you have to do is look at them. Listen to the tone of their voices when they talk to each other.
Why didn't Emmett Martindale divorce his wife and marry the maid?
Oh, a gentleman doesn't do that. Besides, in her poor, deluded way, Emma was madly in love with him. She wouldn't let him go. And that's why he took the opportunity to get rid of her.
Yes, Mr. Ragland.
You don't believe... Well, should I believe you? In this country, a man is supposed to be innocent until he's proved...
You'll be given the chance to prove your innocence in court, Mr. Ragland.
Now, don't hand me that. Some chance. The state has unlimited resources, money, manpower, experts. What have I got?
Now, look, Mr. Ragland, I don't create the setup. I just work for it. Now, let's go back to the beginning. You and Martindale were on the outs. Why?
We couldn't agree on anything. Mostly on how the business should be run. You see, he's tight. He's the stingiest human being in existence. He won't spend a dime on anything. I believe you have to spend it to make it. We fight each other constantly. Well, finally I decided we'd have to find a middle ground. It was his birthday, and I took the occasion
to send him a very expensive present. Why? Why not take him to $10 or $15?
I don't know.
Are you in the habit of giving people expensive gifts?
No.
Wasn't there a lot of defiance in this particular present? Hostility? Wasn't it your way of saying, see how generous I am and how cheap you are?
So, maybe that's true.
Then wouldn't you say the basic purpose of the gift was not to wish him well, but to irritate him?
Okay. What if you're right? What if I did it to outrageous, shriveled, miserly, stingy soul? I hated him for being mean and grasping, but that doesn't prove I wanted to kill him.
Let me try another dozen of those clams oregano I've got, huh?
Can you be watching your diet, Lieutenant?
Well, clams don't add weight. They're protein.
They're supposed to have a lot of cholesterol.
Well, still in all, I can't think unless I eat.
What do you got to think about?
Oh, nothing. Nothing so simple can happen to me. It never has. At noon today, a Mrs. Emma Martindale drinks from a bottle of expensive cognac, which a guy named James Ragland sends to her husband as a birthday gift, you see? And she keels over.
Yes.
The booze, the spike, was poison.
James Ragland wished to kill friend's husband. And something went wrong.
Now, 7 hours later, we have Mr. James Ragland in a cell. He'll be charged. The DA is satisfied he has enough to ask for an indictment.
But I'm thinking.
Yeah?
It can't be this easy. It can't be this open and shut.
There's something about this case that I just can't seem to get hold of.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't know, Gus. Listen, do you have any more of that key lime pie? I'm going to talk to the DA.
Why don't you leave just well enough alone?
hadn't had a chance to thank you yet, Lieutenant Cooper. You've worked quickly and efficiently. You've gotten these statements from all the witnesses. I don't see how a jury can come up with anything but a verdict of guilty in the first degree.
Now, Mr. D.A., that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. You see, I am not sure that James Ragland is guilty.
What's that?
Well, I,
with all the evidence,
Mr. Quentin, I'm just not sure.
Why?
I don't know why.
What are you trying to tell
me? Well, I know. The case looks ironclad, but I think there's a weak seam somewhere, and the whole thing can come apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, there has to be a reason for the way you feel.
What is it?
Well, that's it. I don't know.
Well, maybe I do. It's just that I can't believe James Ragland is guilty.
Why?
Well, I know how this sounds, but I don't think he's the type.
I see. It's one of those reasons. Look, Lieutenant, we've both been around a while. It happens every now and then you get someone who you can't believe can be guilty. Just a hunch. Maybe it bothers you.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and this one does bother me.
But we've got him. We've got him cold, Cooper. You know me. I'm not running for governor. It's as much a job to prove a man innocent as guilty. But James Ragland is 100% guilty.
Well, it's still obviously.
Ever ask yourself why every now and then somebody bothers you? Because guys like us, we always have it on our conscience that we may be railroading an innocent person. I understand, but not him.
Yeah, but I still want to poke around, see if I can come up with something.
Okay, since it bothers you.
I'd be glad to help in any way I can, Lieutenant Cooper.
Now, your full name is Marguerite Willis. How long have you worked for the Martindales?
Oh, 8 years.
Oh, that's a long time. What was your relationship with the family?
My relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm well treated, but I am a servant.
Yeah. But you see, there were rumors that your relationship with Mr. Martindale is another level.
Oh, do you always hear rumors like that? If there's a woman servant in the house, and if her face doesn't stop across, people always assume some hanky-panky with her husband. Oh, it's automatic. Oh, those rumors don't bother me.
Yeah, well, it's a question that has to be asked.
Oh, I understand.
And it's a line of investigation that has to be followed.
Well, go ahead. You won't find anything. The truth is, Mr. Martindale doesn't like women. That is, he has no romantic inclinations in that direction. If you know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure I do.
Well, he's completely involved with his work. He brings it home every night.
Uh-huh. How did he behave toward his wife?
Oh, like a gentleman.
Did they get along?
Very well.
Did they ever fight?
They can't. Has somebody been talking to you?
Oh, many people talk to me.
Well, I'm in a very peculiar position here. Because of my job, I know certain things I have no right to discuss. But I have an idea someone is slandering Mr. Martindale.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have an idea who that someone is, assuming it is slander.
Well, this conflict between Mr. Martindale and Mr. Ragland, it wasn't only because they couldn't agree on how to run the business. They say that what I'm about to say isn't going to help him. But my loyalty has to be to my employers. He was in love with Mrs. Martindale, James Ragland was.
Yes.
He knew her before Mr. Martindale did.
Uh-huh.
I even think they were engaged. Then he introduced her to Mr. Martindale, and the next thing everyone knew, Mr. Martindale and Emma were married.
Yes. And Mr. Ragland never mentioned it.
No, huh? I guess not. Mr. Ragland would come here to see her regularly. I remember. It was always the same conversation.
Darling, darling, Emma, darling.
Jim.
You made a mistake. Admit it. You don't love him.
Jim, I do love him.
That isn't you saying it. It's your pride. If you make a mistake, you don't have to pay for it for the rest of your life. Just walk away from it.
No.
Look at what he does to you.
What does he do to me?
He neglects you. He abuses you.
Jim, he's my husband.
You didn't know what you were doing.
Oh, Jim, please don't.
Most of all, he's...
Now, listen, he's 50. And you might learn a lesson.
Protect him. Look at yourself. You've been wearing that same dress for 3 years.
Oh.
A man's a millionaire. You're starving to death in here.
Oh, no, I would hardly say that I'm starving.
I mean, your soul is starving, your spirit. You've become dowdy. You haven't written a line of poetry since your marriage. No one sees you anymore.
I'm happy.
I could kill him.
Then you wouldn't dare.
One day, I will.
You said that? I could kill him? One day I will?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Well, thank you. You've been very helpful.
Marjorie, you can't leave light burning when you're not...
Oh, it's the police lieutenant.
Yes, I was just leaving, Mr. Martindale. Miss Willis has given me all the information I need. Goodbye. You gone?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I can see him through the window. He's getting into his car. Now he's driving off.
Come over here, Angel.
What did you buy me, baby?
First, you come over here and give me a great big kiss.
And so the second act curtain descends, as it should, on a torrid embrace. What are we going to do with all these people? Practically every one of them seems to be telling a lie. Well, maybe the lies will cancel out and we'll be left with the truth. Maybe the truths will cancel out and we'll be left with a lie. Nothing will happen until I return shortly with Act 3. Mrs. Emma Martindale was killed when she drank some poisoned cognac. This much is definite. The rest is all loose ends. We really don't know for a fact who put the poison into the bottle, nor do we know if Mrs. Martindale was the intended victim. Our knowledge is exceeded by ignorance, which, however, can be said of everyone, everywhere.
You lied to me, James Bradley. You never told me you were once engaged to Emma Martindale.
Well, we weren't really engaged, Lieutenant.
Now, you never said you were in love with her, but you hated Martindale for taking her from you.
Not really.
Now, when you withhold vital information deliberately, that's the same as lying. Now, do you deny saying to Emma, I could kill him?
I didn't you also say one day, I will kill him?
Well, I may have said something like that. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, then why did you say it?
Because a man gets mad, gets drunk, and says a lot of things he doesn't mean. I know it looks bad.
Now, you don't know how bad.
But I'm innocent, no matter what. Okay, I should have told you about the way things were between Emma and me. It was a mistake. But I was scared. You can't quit on me. You have to help me.
Now, I went to the DA. I stuck my neck out for you, and all the time you were holding out on me.
I told you, I was afraid.
Now, that's the end of the line. I'm getting off this train because it just isn't going anywhere. Oh, no. Whether to have the steak or the fish. Hey, give me both. Potatoes, the salad, and,
You got garlic bread?
Let's see, I didn't save you. You only go someplace else.
Gus, I have some heavy thinking to do.
About what?
About this James Ragland guy.
You still feel he didn't do it?
Now, believe me, Gus, I'd like it if he did it, but the package is still too neat.
Even though he's been lying to you?
Yep.
Even though he's got the motive?
That's the trouble. He's got everything.
Well, you ain't gonna enjoy your dinner.
I know. It's gonna fall into place, though, everything.
What do you mean?
It's all running around in my head, Gus. I just
If something would happen to make it stand still for a minute so I could sort it out.
Give it time.
Look, I'll start with the salad.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said okay.
No. You said give it time. Time. Do you realize, Gus, that this whole thing is based on time? Timing, for crying out loud. It's been right out there in front of me all along. Doc, how long did you say it took for her to die after she swallowed that poison?
That's all in the report, Lieutenant. Just a couple of minutes.
I see. Okay, she swallows the drink. In a couple of minutes, she's dead, right? Now they call the ambulance immediately.
Well, that's what the report says.
Yes, and it also says the request was made at 12 noon. It arrived 6 minutes later. It's 12:06.
You have to admit that's great time.
Yeah, but don't you see? The question is, when did she drink it? Mr. Barnaby, how many bottles of Dunston's cognac do you keep in stock?
Are you kidding? At that price, I just kept the one.
And there's no way anyone could have sneaked in here and replaced the bottle of Dunston's you had with one that had been poisoned, huh?
In the first place, I got a special protection system, see?
Uh-huh.
And there's only one key to the store. I never let go of it. And besides, there's the burglar alarm.
All right. Now, James Ratlin came in yesterday to buy the cognac, huh?
Yeah, I told you all that.
Yeah, now this was just before 11 o'clock. He bought the cognac, and you gift-wrapped it.
Look, I'm prepared to testify to that effect in court. He wanted immediate delivery, so I went next door to see if the grocer's delivery boy was around.
All right, now answer this. Where was your delivery boy?
Well, it turns out he had a little accident on his motorbike on the way downtown.
I see. In the normal way, would he have been here in the morning?
Oh, sure. It's his job.
Yeah. Now, when Mr. Ragland bought the cognac, he assumed you could deliver it at once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, he would have no way of knowing your delivery boy was unavailable.
Even I didn't know that.
Now, the bottle on the shelf had to be good.
You're not kidding.
So then, if your boy had been here, he would have taken the bottle and gone to deliver it, and there'd be no way for Ragland to tamper with it, right? He couldn't have planned to use this method to commit murder.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Lieutenant.
All right, now one further question.
Yeah?
This bottle. Examine it, please. Is this the bottle that you sold to Mr. Ragland?
Yes, sir. It's got the Dunston's label, see?
Uh-huh.
And on the bottom, it's got my own sticker. Barnaby, better said.
Examine it very carefully. Now, this is the bottle that contained the poisoned cognac Mrs. Martindale drank. Is it the same bottle you delivered?
Oh, yes, the convenient... Wait a minute. Hold a second now. Now, this is the wrong bottle.
What?
There was never any Dunston cognac in this bottle.
Why not?
Well, look, it may look like a bottle of Dunston's, but Dunston's doesn't use this particular bottle. Here, look at the bottle.
Mm.
And you see the little raised letters here? It says K-R. Now, that stands for Krieger.
Uh-huh.
It's another distillery. They don't even make cognac.
Then this, can't be the bottle you delivered to the Martindale house, huh?
No way.
But the switch had to be made somewhere. This is not the same bottle you sold Ragland. Hello, this is Lieutenant Cooper speaking. Sergeant, you got a call earlier to send an ambulance to a Mrs. Martindale. The record says noon. I want you to check that book of yours. Make sure it wasn't about a quarter after 11. Oh, I see. I see. It was the first call you took when you came on at 12. Thank you, Sergeant.
Emma, baby, I need some money.
But I gave you money yesterday.
It's gone.
Gone?
Yesterday is gone, too.
But you just can't go around spending money as if it's...
That's what money's for.
Well, you're just going to have to learn. Money has to be saved. Protected against waste.
The way she learned it?
Emma was quite prudent where money was concerned.
Sweetie, if you want to make me into another Emma, why did you get rid of her in the first place?
You must never say that, even when we're alone.
Oh, the only things we should say to each other when we're alone is, I love you.
Mm.
Now, I should go shopping.
Marguerite, I see I shall have to teach you some basic facts of economics.
You're not going to teach me anything. I'm going to teach you.
Well, it seems to me you're forgetting who you are. I could fire you on the spot.
And I could walk out of here and report to the nearest police station.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a bottle of Dunstan's cognac and everything that happened to it from the moment I took it from the delivery man to the moment Emma drank it.
Well, but you wouldn't. I mean, after all... Well, who's that?
See who it is. Well, I can see who it is from here, out the window. That detective. That's his car at the curb. What does he want here?
Probably more routine.
But he was just here a few hours ago.
Don't start looking nervous.
Suppose he suspects.
What can he suspect? How can he suspect? Answer the door. I have to see him.
Yes, Lieutenant, what can I do for you?
I'm finishing my report. I want to be sure I have everything straight. Miss Willis, you answered the door when a Mr. Barnaby was here to deliver some liquor.
Well, I don't know if his name was Mr. Barnaby.
And you accepted a gift-wrapped package. You brought it in here, and you, sir, opened the package and summoned Mrs. Martindale. You uncorked the bottle, poured a drink for her, and a drink for yourself.
Yes?
Now, immediately... She became fatally ill. You had Miss Willis here call for an ambulance.
I believe I've already made a statement to that effect.
Now, Miss Willis, after Mr. Martindale asked you to summon an ambulance, how long did it take you to do so?
Oh, no time at all. I heard him shout. I lifted the phone. I dialed the police emergency number, and I was connected in, well, maybe 5-10 seconds.
To sum up then, Miss Willis, how long was it from the time you accepted the package from the delivery man to the time... Mrs. Martindale took that fatal drink.
How long?
Yes. Well, it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes.
It might have been less. You see, it all happened so quickly.
Yes. Well, we agreed then on 5 minutes. Now, Mr. Barnaby says he delivered that package to you at about 10 minutes after 11. 5 minutes after the delivery, you placed the call for an ambulance.
Well, hasn't that been abundantly clear by this time, Lieutenant?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it poses a problem.
What sort of problem?
Well, somehow we have lost or mislaid 45 minutes.
What do you mean?
Well, we can't account for the 45 minutes that elapsed between the time you say Mrs. Martindale drank the cognac and the time you say you called the ambulance.
But I called the ambulance immediately.
Yeah, but you didn't call for it at 11:15. You see, the police records show that the call came in exactly at 12 noon.
Well, we may have been mistaken as to the time.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we can prove the cognac was delivered at about 10 after 11. And you are already on record as having said you opened it and Mrs. Martindale drank it 5 minutes later.
Well, I was confused, that nervous. We didn't get to open the cognac until 5 minutes to noon. There.
Oh. So, you're changing your story then?
It's my right upon sober consideration.
Yeah, but that means that Miss Willis will also have to change her story.
So of course.
Are you changing your story, Miss Willis?
Marguerite, you just tell him we were mistaken.
Now, before you answer, Miss Willis, let me account for the discrepancy in time.
There was no discrepancy.
Now, the package is delivered. You see the note, Mr. Martindale. It says, to Emmett, on your birthday, to be sipped slowly, signed Jim Ragland. Now, you say to yourself, what a way to get rid of Jim and my wife at the same time.
No, just a minute.
So, you go to your laboratory, you get some hydrocyanic acid.
This is all...
Now, the thing to do is to pour some hydrocyanic acid into the bottle of Dunstan's cognac and then reseal it. Ah, but you're basically a stingy man. Why ruin the exceptional cognac, huh? So you remove the Dunstan's label and the liquor store sticker, and you fix them onto a cheap bottle of whiskey.
I'll see you for defamation.
And you work very carefully. Take nearly 45 minutes. And then you call your wife, play the little charade with her, get her to drink the poison liquor, and have Miss Willis phone for the ambulance. This brings us to 12 noon. And now the times are reconciled.
Are you daring
now,
to
why don't you offer me a drink? Dunstan's. It should be right here in the liquor cabinet.
Oh, you have no right to open my liquor cabinet.
Now, this bottle here, without a label. Now, if you look at some raised letters on the bottom of the bottle, you see? Little raised letters spelling Dunstan's. Well, Miss Willis?
Marguerite, he can't... Miss Willis, What does he offer you? 20 years to life, even a chair.
Marguerite, he's bluffing.
He does have money, but will he be more generous with you than he was with his wife?
Marguerite,
he gives nothing away, even when it costs him nothing. Now, that bottle of Dunstan, had he not wasted precious time, had he just poured the poison into it, he would have been in the clear, but no, he's so cheap, he wouldn't even use good whiskey to poison his wife. So now he has to pay the price. Why should you?
Marguerite, don't you see what he's doing?
Lieutenant, he threatened to kill me.
Who was it that said, the cheapest way will always cost more in the end? At any rate, the jury felt that Marguerite was a helpless tool, so she'll be released shortly, after a short stay in jail. Emmett will never be released. He has a lifetime career in the prison library. He also teaches chemistry in the prison school. So, at least our story has some redeeming social value. And I shall return with even more values. Of perception, to see suddenly a multitude of possibilities in what is on the surface only a confused mass, and to examine a single drop of water and divine therein the scheme of the universe. Opportunity of all kinds surrounds us constantly, for good, for evil, and for seven times each week, to listen to this program. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Leon Janney, Court Benson, Sam Gray, and Joan Shea. The entire production is under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
I'm E.G. Marshall. In the long evolution of man, the few thousand years of so-called civilization have only lasted since the day before yesterday. The veneer is thinner than a single coat of furniture shellac, and beneath its surface seethe and boil all the savage instincts that will take many more million years to cool. This is the story of a man who found that the demons which haunt us are not from the beyond, but rise up to engulf us from within.
I'd maneuvered it so that the big, heavy, reeling drunk with his bottle and a paper bag was between us. As the crowd moved forward in anticipation of boarding the train, hidden from Deke, I pushed against the man so that he lurched directly against Deke. Caught off balance, Deke's foot slipped off the edge of the platform, and Deke started to fall helplessly in the path of the onrushing train.
Our mystery drama, Loser Takes All, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Patricia Elliott and Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. They say that there is a woman for every a man for every woman. Since there are more women born than men, this can't be totally true. And in fact, in practice, it doesn't work out anyway, because as the world spins, they may not necessarily meet. But there are women whom few men can resist, and for whom a man could be as ready to sell his soul as Dr. Faustus was to the devil. A woman, for example, like Delphi Carr.
It was the end of the summer. I finally had it made. All the bootlicking, fast-dealing, double-crossing, throat-cutting, knives in the back, wheedling behind me. Jim Ebbing was dead, and World Talent Enterprises Incorporated was mine. In the theatrical agency business, I was kingpin. And here I was at the Venice Film Festival playing God with the best suite at the gritty Palazzo Hotel, a cabana at the Lido Beach, and the world my oyster. An oyster that suddenly I found contained a pearl beyond price.
Per favore, ti sposta perché mi cobra dal sole.
How was that again?
An American, I should have known. Would you mind? You've got me in the shadow.
Oh, sister, that's one place no one's ever going to put you.
Thanks for nothing. You're hulking in the way of my suntan.
Oh, and supposing I take one giant step. How's that?
Just bully. Now I have the sun back. Suppose you just keep on with the giant steps and walk right out of my life.
You've got to be kidding. Now I've met you, you'll never be out of mine.
That's your problem. I'm trying to rest.
I guess you don't know who I am.
I guess I don't, nor want to. Goodbye.
Jake Alexander. World Talent Enterprises?
You mean you handle actors, show people?
Well, that's part of it.
How about magicians? You handle them?
Yes, a couple, but
I... Well, then make like one, please, and disappear.
Well, first off, I'd like to talk about handling you, whoever you are.
That's about as gauche a proposition as I've ever had.
Well, you know I didn't mean that. I meant as a property.
That sounds even worse.
All right, personality. What's in a word?
I'm not an actress.
How do you know? It doesn't really matter anyway.
Timmy, is that how you see me? Queen of the X-rated movies?
No. I'll look, Miss...
Mrs.
Oh.
Have I turned you off? Good. In fact, goodbye.
Oh, not that easily, no. Valle atque ave.
Latin. Farewell and hail. Isn't that upside down? The message is hail and farewell.
I'm persistent.
In this country, it doesn't take a woman long to find out that all men are.
Look, we've been talking at least 2 minutes and I still don't have your name. I gave you mine.
And I thought your number. Now, maybe I'm not all that sure. Could you possibly be serious?
I was never more serious in my life. You want to talk business? Business, I mean?
Well, I think the sun's gone down for the afternoon. No. I can get up by myself.
You haven't answered my question.
You asked my name. That one I will answer. I am the Principessa Albigano. Adios, signor. No hail. Just volley.
She was a princess, all right. She lit up even a bright, sunny Italian day. But if she thought she could brush me off that easy, she was less bright than I took her for. First off, the married angle and the Principessa bit didn't faze me. The Principutti, or whatever the male half of a princess is, was kaput. Dead. Smashed up in a Ferrari. I'd read about him in the papers. Well, that took care of that. Second, this babe was dynamite. She had what every agent looks for first. It's got 100 names, but what it boils down to is money at any box office. And third, she was just what this agent wanted. For me, personal. Hi, Duchess. Enjoy the show.
Principessa.
I got a better title. Star. Superstar. And this?
And what is that, Mr. 10%?
The contract, all options open between you and me?
You are one small bundle of solid gall, aren't you?
No, not quite. You give me 3 years. I'll make you the biggest star in show business.
Doing what?
Being you.
Where? How?
Ooh, it would take a little planning, the right spotting, training, lessons, coaching, a showcase or so off-Broadway, talk shows on TV, and then movies.
I have no ability.
I decide that. You got class, beauty, style, and most of all, something that jumps right out and grabs a man. And women, too. You got a something that makes you a religion, an object to be worshipped, something for any plain Joe to put on a pedestal. And for his wife to know you're so far above her, she don't get her nose out of joint, she ain't the one up on that pedestal. You know, too far off for her to be jealous, but too tempting not to shut her eyes and identify with you, because that's where she'd give her eye teeth to be. In 3 years, I guarantee you can ask any producer for anything you want. And somehow he'll find it.
I don't need money.
So, you'll like the public acclaim?
No. No, I'm a very private person.
Just wait till you've tasted it. You'll change your mind. Look, one man isn't enough for you. Only after you've had them all at your feet. Then you'll settle for one.
Thanks for the hangnail analysis. You're quite a parlor psychiatrist, aren't you?
In my own way, the best in the world. You could trust me for one thing. I know talent. Now, you want to sign this?
Don't be ridiculous. Excuse me now. I have some friends waiting.
Take it with you. Read it. And then see me when you get to the States, either New York or L.A.
How did you know I was going to America?
I make it my business to find out things I need to know. How could I leave Europe unless I knew you were going my way, too? Okay. Delphi.
So, you found out my name, too.
Wasn't hard. There's quite a file of press clippings on you. Delphi Carr. Good name for the marquee in publicity. Oh, and the principessa and the European playboy you're no longer married to. They're all naturals. Like you. See you stateside.
I doubt it.
Don't. Just remember about old Muhammad and the mountain. And don't call me, I'll call you.
Oh, well, excuse me. I've kept my friends waiting quite long enough. Goodbye, Mr. Alexander.
I got a better word. I've been picking up a little culture myself. Let's just say, arrivederci.
I couldn't get that funny little man out of my head for the life of me. Although I should have. Because all the dreams he was dangling in front of my nose, I was going to pay for dearly. I shouldn't say funny little man. A little short, yes, but not funny. There was something about him, a magnetism, a superhuman influence that made one a believer, no matter how incredible the dream. And though I didn't let him know it, I only half knew it myself yet, he had me hooked. He was going to buy me what money couldn't. Deke.
Dale.
Oh, lover.
Darling.
Maybe we better close the door.
Oh, maybe we better.
Come on, sit on the couch. I have drinks waiting. And you can tell me all about your interview.
Oh, that.
Oh, darling. No good.
Same old story. Not enough credits. No agent. Oh, De Lavrenti was charming. He sent you his regards, but regrets, there was nothing for me in this picture. Maybe the next one.
Well, maybe there will be.
Oh, sure. Only by then I'll be back in Scranton at the gas station. Ah, come on, Del. What's the use of kidding myself? I've given it my best shot and I blew it. Well, all my dough, anyway.
Deke, you know money isn't any problem.
It may not be for you, but it is for me.
So silly. I'm just wallowing in it. It's more than enough for both of us.
Look, I've done a lot to try to have an acting career, but that's one road I don't go down.
Well, think of it as a loan.
I don't take loans I don't see how to pay back, and I don't live off any woman.
No matter how much you love her?
Oh, look, now don't do that to me.
If we were married...
I can't marry you, Delphi. I can't even support myself.
Deke... Stop thinking of yourself. Think of me.
You're all I think of.
I wish it were true, that damn money. It doesn't mean anything to me, don't you understand? I paid my dues for it. 8 years married to that vain, twisted pervert. I thank heaven he's dead.
Mother, was the money all that important?
It was. When I married him, it was the only way to save my father from, at least, disgrace. And my mother. And at 19, there was some glamour about becoming a princess.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. What can I offer you? One bad marriage for another?
You. You offer me everything. Love, tenderness, belief. Deke, can you cancel that silly excursion round-trip airfare you have?
Look, you know I can't. It's like an actor's contract, play or pay.
So junk it. I'm going home by boat. Sail with me.
Honey, I can't afford it. I haven't any money.
Let me buy your passage. Oh. Now, look. No, don't interrupt. Just take it as a loan. A small one. But I can guarantee you'll be able to pay back within a month or two.
How?
That's my secret. Allow me to have at least one.
I did better than just meet the Leonardo when she got into New York from the Mediterranean. I hired a launch to intercept her at customs with 3 dozen American beauty roses to say welcome home to the Principessa. And I was waiting as the liner docked in the 50s to greet her, not knowing the bomb she was going to explode. I mean, Jake Alexander anticipates everything. He runs things his way. If you're a czar, why not? You pull all the strings, right? Wrong. Just look, for example. Principessa! You see, this time I buy the title. Not because I ever felt you were less than that in my book, but look at all the press I gathered for you.
You haven't changed.
For your concern, I never change. I still got that open contract. It would be nice to make it while the Fourth Estate is milling around to record it. Are you going to sign?
Not for me, but for a man who is my whole life. Deke, I should say Douglas Roberts. If you're as great as you are, you can make him into a better and brighter star than I could ever be. So, here's the challenge. Jake Alexander, I'd like you to meet the man I married on the boat, my husband, Deke Roberts.
Husband? Behind my eyes, the explosion was blood red. I wanted to kill him. Question about it or doubt, with all the options in my life and my connections, he had to be disposed of. The only question was how.
I don't suppose that at one time or another in our lifetimes, any of us has not, just for the moment, dreamed of disposing of someone we dislike or hate by violence. Quite certain that it was only a human reaction which never would have results. But wild and irrational things happen in life once we loose emotions and ride on them without realizing the consequences. I'll return shortly with Act Two. Triangle. In plane geometry, it comes in 6 shapes. Right angle, isosceles, equilateral, obtuse, acute, and scalene. Also, who cares except high school students or anyone who has to use the knowledge in his work? But in human relations, that's something entirely different. The triangle is not a constant. It is an ever-changing mystery, capable of infinite variations, just one of which we are returning to. This special triangle with a girl named Delphi in one corner and 2 guys named Jake and Deke in the others.
I'm 6'2", and I go about 185 to 90. Once I dug a career in the pros, but nobody picked me up. Big deal, I wouldn't cry. The money would have been good, but what really turns me on, or did, was cars. I'm a better than good mechanic, but after 4 years in the shop, I got bitten by the bug. I wanted to be an actor. Well, I'd always had it in the back of my mind. So, anyway, with enough to get by on for 2 years, I give myself the chance. I was lucky. I got a small part in this movie, the start of it all, and a big break when the film was picked up for the Venice Festival. I'd never been to Europe, so I took a chance and caught an excursion there. What the heck? I was still under 30. My life could go anyway. Until I met Delphi. Then there was only one way it could go. Ever. Her way. But he's not interested in me. It was you.
Jake, he's a flesh peddler. Let's lay it right on the line. Jake's interested in anyone who can make money for him.
Sure, sure. But as long as you brought up the subject of flesh, it isn't mine that attracted him.
I'm not interested in a career. I have no talent.
I don't think Jake Alexander saw you as talent.
Don't say it. It makes it all so cheap, and I don't want it to be that way for you. Deke, honestly, I think Jake Alexander is a very special man. I told you I was going to get him to handle you. In a way, our whole future hangs on that. It's why we got married.
Okay, okay, darling. For you, I'll go down any route, just so long as you're mine. Just so I can keep you mine. But I want that one thing straight.
What, lover?
I'm jealous. I'm jealous all the way. You're mine or nobody's.
Who else's would I ever be?
The question for me still was just how to handle it. Deke, oh, that ridiculous sophomore named Deke had to go. There was no problem for me to destroy him as an actor or a personality, but that wasn't enough for me to win Delphi for myself. He had to be wiped out as a human being, as a living entity. And the question was still how. And then fate kindly took a hand.
Hey, Deke.
Hi, Mr. Alexander.
Oh, come on. Agent, Clyde, we gotta be friends, huh? So, Jake?
Okay. Jake.
That's better. What are you doing down here on the east side?
Oh, no college friend is in settlement work down here. I cut out whenever I can to give him a hand.
Oh, yeah, well, good public relations.
Yeah. What are you doing here, the wrong side of town?
Oh, I got my own crazy kind of drives. I was born in this area, but who knows me anymore?
Yeah, it's no man's land for me, too. My friend was even out sick. I could have saved the trip.
Hey, how about that? You going up to him?
Yeah, yeah. I'll hail a cab.
Don't spend it before you make it. Something I learned on the Lower East Side. Besides, there's a subway on the next corner. What's the matter with that?
Oh, nothing. You lead the way. Just tell me where I'm going.
Just tell him where he was going. That was for laughs to ask a man who had murder in his heart. And it was the perfect time for what I had in mind. An area where nobody knew us could connect us. And right at the rush hour.
I never really can get used to the subway.
Well, you have to be born and bred in New York to appreciate them.
I don't know what happens to people on these platforms. It's a jungle. Here I'm pushing, shoving so much a guy's got to fight for his life.
Well, I shouldn't bother a big, healthy guy like you.
Why not?
All the years you played football, you ought to be able to take care of yourself. Isn't the killer instinct second nature with you?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Jake. Fuck off. Football was just a game. I don't go much for pushing and shoving and body contact in everyday life.
Survival of the fittest, baby. Yeah. Every day, any day life. That's what it's all about.
You always sound so tough. I don't really believe you are.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. I have to be where I am.
Yeah. Sure, sure, I guess so.
To make sure my clients get what's coming to them.
Yeah, well, you always manage to deliver.
Oh, you feel that way?
Been doing all right by me.
I maneuvered it so that a big, heavy man was between us. As the crowd moved forward in anticipation of boarding the train, I pushed against him, shoving him directly so he would push Deke off the edge of the platform. Only at the last moment... I couldn't go through with it.
Phew, hey, that was close.
Thanks, Jake.
Well, I got to protect my investment, huh? Oh, you sure did on this one. Boy, I thought I was a goner for a moment till you grabbed me and pulled me back.
Just lucky I was around to grab you, I guess. Forget it. Life's a gamble anyway, huh? We're all here today and gone tomorrow.
That's a funny thing to say. What do you mean by that?
Nothing, Deke, nothing. Just nerves, I guess. The way you almost bought it.
Yeah, don't I know it. Except for you. Forget it. As always, tomorrow.
I tell you, honey, he's my guardian angel. Damnedest thing. This old drunk, he would have knocked me right onto the tracks in front of that subway if Jake hadn't grabbed me and pulled me back.
Oh, darling, thank the Lord for him. But most of all, thank God you're still here.
Yeah, you're right, baby. Thank the Lord for Jake. Whew. Fantastic. Not only my career is in his hands, but now my life.
So I couldn't do it personally, all right. There were other ways. I had connections. If I wanted Delphi enough. And I did. So I put in a call to Las Vegas.
Hello?
Bernie!
Who else? Who's this?
How many people got your private number? It's Jake. Jake Alexander.
You old Conniff. You in town?
No, I'm flying to the coast tomorrow.
Ah, you going to stop off in Vegas on the way?
And drop another bundle to you and the tables?
I'll buy you a drink.
Oh, big deal. While you take me to the cleaners, huh? Now, you want to do something real big for me for a change?
Just name it.
Bernie, how do I go about getting a guy totaled?
You guys in show business, always a big laugh. What, are you riding a play now?
I asked a question.
I heard it,
What's the answer?
Come on, will you? Grow up. How would I know? I'm a businessman.
You have connections?
Jake, stop putting me on. Even if there was something like you read about in the paperbacks, it don't operate that way anymore. So, what else is new?
Nothing right at the moment. You know, maybe I will stop by Vegas on the way to the coast.
You gotta be kidding, Jake.
I was never more serious in my life.
But not on the phone. Who's the guy?
A guy named Deke Roberts. He's a client of mine.
You couldn't just break the contract?
It isn't like that, Bernie. He's in my way.
Mm-hmm. So, I make a connection. We'll rub him out.
Where?
When? Give me a date. And where?
Well, I'm bringing him out to L.A. He's up for something good. Might build a future for him.
Mm-hmm. So, let me know when. He won't have to worry about his future no more. That Jake is dynamite, honey. He's got me up for the Senate Guard. It's a terrific part.
Oh, that's wonderful, Deke.
Well, it's not set. I'll have to make a test.
On the coast?
Yeah.
Fine, we'll fly out together. How soon?
The test is set for the beginning of the week. But Jake suggested I might want to stop off for a few days with him in Las Vegas.
Would you like that?
Well, I've never been there. He's laying out the dough. For me, anyway. It's part of our contract. The trouble is...
The trouble is nothing. If I want to have a little fling in Vegas, I can afford it. How can you stop me?
Well, I can't. Oh, Del, baby, I don't know. It just eats me up, this living off of you. Something I swore I wouldn't do.
You're not living off me. Jake pays you a salary. And someday you'll be making so much money it all won't matter.
Someday. It's going to be a long haul.
Not with Jake behind you.
You think a lot of him, don't you?
Yes. Well, why wouldn't I? For one thing, he saved your life.
Yeah, he sure did that. In more ways than one.
And he's a winner, Deke. When he wants something, nothing will stop him until he gets it. I'd put all my faith in him.
Okay, Bernie, he's on his way here. He gets to Vegas on the noon plane. Flight 947.
Mm-hmm. What's he look like?
Oh, there are pictures in this envelope. Publicity, portrait shots, every angle.
Good, good. Name again?
Deke Roberts. Well, how do we set it up?
Just leave that to my boy. He'll handle it.
There's just one thing, Bernie. He's bringing his wife with him. I don't want to take any chances of... I mean, look, nothing's going to happen to her. I gotta be sure of that.
Cool it, Jake. I get the picture. You want the broad for yourself. My boy takes out the husband, right?
Yeah. We'll only be here over the weekend, so when do you figure?
Jake, I make one contact. Then I got nothing to do with this. Nothing. I never heard of the guy. Wouldn't know him from Adam. Now, let's drop it.
Okay, Bernie.
Oh, maybe one thing.
with the babe and all, just make sure she don't tag along everywhere. Can you split them up, say, tonight, tomorrow night?
Well, I didn't want to have any hand in this.
Suit yourself. Just wanted to make sure nothing happened to the chick.
Okay, Bernie, okay. I'll make sure. I'll set up your pigeon.
So there it is. As simple as that. Deke is in Jake's way. And as Delphi has said of him, Jake is a winner. When he wants something, nothing will stop him until he gets it, which makes Deke a loser and Delphi the prize. Yet Las Vegas is the gambling capital of America. And any time you gamble, even at the worst odds, you can luck out. I'll return shortly with Act 3. The die is cast. The step is taken and I cannot draw back, so said Julius Caesar when he crossed the Rubicon. King Richard III expressed it a little differently. I have set my life upon the cast and will stand the hazard of the die. But in this case, Jake Alexander's is not the life that is in danger. And die doesn't mean dice, but death itself.
I met them at the plane. Two beautiful people. The knife really cut deep to see how well they suited each other. But my want for Delphi, my need for her, blotted out any stirrings of conscience. I'd been uneasy knowing that somewhere a hard, stone-cold pair of eyes were measuring the victim for his coffin. But that was wiped out by my own surge of desire for this golden woman who now meant my whole life.
Hello, kids. Welcome to Never Never Land.
Hiya, Jake, old pal.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Napoleon. What worlds have you been conquering lately?
No. The only member of the ruling class here is you in name as well as character, Principessa.
Oh, a diplomat as well as a salesman.
No, just a plain wheeler dealer, in this case with everyone's best interest at heart.
Hey, Jake, you really think I have a shot at this picture?
You better believe it. We're starting to get near the payoff.
You know something? I love you, Jake.
Well, like a fella says, that goes double. Oh, come on. Let's go make sure everything's set up just right for you.
Jake wants me to meet the director of the picture, darling. So you finish dressing for dinner. I'll be back to pick you up.
Can I come down and join you?
No, the director isn't here at this hotel. He's over at the Sahara Vista. I'll grab a cab. I'll run over there. I'll be back within the hour.
Okay, darling. But don't keep me waiting. I miss you every second you're away.
I was biting my nails. Oh, the director was in town, all right, and I had made the appointment. But the hidden appointment was the big one. Somewhere, going or coming, Deke Roberts was going to cease to be. It was almost impossible to sit and be myself with Delphi as we had drinks in the cocktail lounge.
He ought to be here pretty soon, don't you think?
Well, that's a good sign if he's late, I think. Maybe he and Hugo hit it off pretty well.
Oh, I hope so. You know something, Jake?
What's that, Duchess?
Duchess? Do you call all your girls that?
No. Even when I had them, which I don't anymore. Just you.
You really know how to set up a woman, don't you, Jake?
Just how to love one.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe Deke does have some cause.
Cause for what?
Well, what I was going to tell you. My husband is very jealous of you.
Me?
Yes. He knows that next to him, I love you better than anyone else.
You love me?
Well, it isn't difficult to learn, given the teacher. And given the fact that you're saving our marriage. As much as we love each other, I don't think it could work unless he's a success. For either of us. So, you see, you hold our lives in the hollow of your magic hands.
What?
Well, Jake, what is it? What's wrong?
Duchess, excuse me. I've got a call. I have to make it. Believe me, it's life or death.
The whole thing hit me flat in the face. This deal was all wrong. Oh, forget the morals, but just on a practical basis. With Deke dead, Delphi would only mourn him. And I was shut out just as much as I was now. But the other, oh, I should have thought of that first. Jealousy. A motive as old as hate and more effective than death. That was the way to do it. If I could only get to Bernie in time. I was sweating like a pig. I tried everything I knew to locate him. And this was the last chance.
Yeah?
Bernie, it's Jake. Call it off.
I don't know if I can.
You better. You just gotta.
I'll do what I can. I'll get back to you. Now get off the line.
I don't know what I said to Delphi for the next half hour. I must have been as good an actor as any of my clients because she didn't seem to notice I was on the edge of losing all my marbles. But somehow I kept up a front until...
Excuse me, Mr. Alexander. Call for you.
Oh, thank you, waiter. I'll
the phone is already plugged in. You can take it right here.
Oh, well, thanks. Jake Alexander.
You know who, Jake. Signal's off. Your boy is safe.
Oh, thank God.
Are you all right, Jake?
Huh? Oh, yes, sure. Never better.
I've never seen you like this before.
Oh, how?
With all your defenses down, you're just so human.
Oh, well, I guess it's a thing most people forget about us 10%ers. Now and again, we're human beings, too.
Whose skin was I really trying to save with my sudden change of mind? I'll let any of you judge. And the rest of the story doesn't get any prettier. Oh, it was easy enough for me to pull all the strings. The controls were all in my hands. The jobs that somehow never quite materialized. The constant stream of controlled publicity about Deke as a young stag. Both hunted and the hunter.
Well, it's getting so that you spend more time with me than Deke does, Jake.
Well, he's building a career, and I'm resting on my laurels.
Does he have to build it, running around with every sexpot starlet, while I sit at home with you?
Oh, you don't think he enjoys running around with these bird brains, do you?
Well, I guess I don't. Frankly, it's not their brains that has me worried.
Oh, come on. Flesh is a commodity in L.A., not something to lust after. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Or if you've had only one, maybe you'd like to check out the rest.
Now, you seriously think that any woman could hold any attractions for Deke after you?
What do you think?
You know, since the first moment I shared the sun with you, no other woman ever could.
I didn't mean you. I was asking you about Deke.
Oh, well, you know, maybe his head is turned a bit. I'll check it out. Don't worry.
What would he do without you? Jake?
Yes?
How long? When is he going to get a job?
I'm doing my best.
He was so good in that picture in Venice.
For you, honey. The trick is to make the rest of the world agree with you. Masterful, all right. An Iago dripping the careful poison of jealousy into my female Othello's ear. Slow but sure. Destroy Deke's image. Bring her to the point of seeing him for the handsome, empty hulk he was. Teaching her to be ready to cut him out of her heart and leave room after the divorce for me to fill the gap. Just two things I didn't allow for. That's where it all went wrong. Well, it's getting around that time, Del. I better be on my way.
Well, must you go so soon?
Well, lone lady at home, no husband about. You know how tongues can wag in this town.
Let them.
I just wish they had something to wag about.
I just wish that was the reason I asked you to stay.
Well, that's a funny thing to say.
Not really. Oh, Jake, darling. All I mean was that I wish I gave something to you ever instead of just taking and taking.
I enjoy giving and giving.
Oh, you're a lamb. Even if it's your fault that I've ended up as a movie star in the making widow. Who is his nubile, succulent, photogenic doll for tonight?
Oh, I don't remember, Dell. He and the press agent pick him out.
You mean Deke makes the dates himself?
Oh, sure. I mean, after we've screened them. Oh, now, you're not jealous, are you?
Yes, damn you, I am. But I'll swallow it if that's the way it has to be. Jake, could I ask you something? Could you help me to get a gun?
A gun? What for and why me?
I don't want to get Deke upset. I don't even want him to know about it, but... Well, last night there was a prowler around. I think there's been one a couple of times before, and I... Well, frankly, I'd feel more comfortable if I had some protection.
Oh, sure, honey, you'll get it.
It's just with Deke out of the house every night, sometimes till early in the morning. Anyway, you can help me buy one, or whatever it is that you
do. I can do better than that. I have a gun. I never use it, so you can have that. And from now on, you've got a guest for the evenings when Deke is abroad.
Thanks, Jake. But I don't think you should be here too much. I don't want to worry Deke or do anything to interfere with his career and, well...
Well, what?
You'd never believe it, you sweet old darling, but Deke is really jealous of you.
That was a rocker, all right. But if I had any doubts about my Machiavellian operation, that stilled them for good. I had even more incentive to get Deke out of Delphi's life for good. Because now I had some hope. It was worth all the deals, persuading the girls to keep him out late, to compromise him every way they could, paying the photographers to trail them, waiting for that set of prints damning enough to be sure Delphi would divorce him. Sure, it was taking time. But slow as sure. But that night... A sudden decision to take the gun back to Delphi brought the whole thing to a head.
Well, you didn't have to bring this back tonight, Jake.
Well, I wouldn't have slept easy knowing you were worried.
Look, I don't mean to rush you, but, well, Deke should be home at any minute.
I'm on my way.
What's that car running?
It's mine. Shows my intentions were good. I left the motor running, huh? Good night, then.
Good night, and thanks.
Well, that makes it all worthwhile, huh? See you, baby.
I watched the car go by me where I'd hidden in the bushes. Seeing the car lights in the driveway, I parked my car in the street and walked up the drive. I had a hunch I was going to find what I was going to find. It all added up after what my date had blurted out just a half hour ago. All those evenings, Jake had been paying these dames to keep me out. Everyone in town knew he'd been bad-mouthing me at the studios, queering every possible deal to hire me. Big deal, big friend, some agent. That was the big contract my wife had bought me. Don't lie to me, Del. I know it. I know what's been going on.
Dee, please, honestly, there is nothing between Jake and me.
What was he doing at the house, huh? With the car running? Why did he take off the way he did the moment I get home? Don't you think I saw you in each other's arms?
Oh, darling, you don't understand. Please, I was thanking him for something.
Thanking him for what?
Well, nothing, really. Oh, well, for this.
A gun? Holy mother, it's gone that far? You think you needed that to get rid of me?
Get rid of you? Well, what are you talking about? That's the last thing
I want. Damn right, it's the last thing I'll let you do. Here, give me that. Give it to me. If there's anything getting rid of to be done...
Oh, Deke. Deke, I love you. Don't let me die. You've killed me, Deke.
Del! No! Del!
I had stopped outside when I saw Deke's car. I had a hunch to go back, but before I'd made up my mind, the first shot came. And the second made up my mind for me. They were both dead by the time I got there. I sat down and cried like I haven't since I was a baby. I was still crying when the police came. Oh, I made it easy for them. There didn't have to be an investigation. I confessed. The hell was the difference? I didn't have anything left to live for. And in the eyes of God and a conscience I rediscovered, I had killed them both just as surely as if my finger had pulled the trigger on my gun that I'd never used.
Poetic justice, yes, but not much solace to two innocent victims of a man's unnatural desire. Poor Delphi Carr and Deke Roberts were losers in this dangerous game. Perhaps the only mitigating circumstance is that the man who had to win, for once, ended on the losing side, too. I'll be back shortly. No one who ever went through our school system can have forgotten Euclid and his volume of geometrical propositions, all neatly solved in the beginning, leaving you only the task of proving them. But one triangle he didn't mess with, the human triangle. That's one proposition which has no answer at the beginning. For it, you have to wait till the end. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, Paul Hecht, Ian Martin, and Nat Polan. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
You have just heard a double play from the old-time radio series, the CBS RMT, here on Audio Theater. Tonight's titles were 45 Minutes to Murder and Loser Take All. This set of shows aired on the evenings of June 28th and July 1st, 1976. Tune in next Monday evening, same time, same place, for another set of thrilling and awesome mystery shows, here on Audio Theater. This is your host, Will, saying thanks for listening. Until then, have a good one.
This concludes Audio Theater. Stay tuned, it's true. For another thrilling episode just for you.